Good morning, everybody. My name is Izumi Okutani, and I work for a national internet registry in Japan called JPNIC. In this presentation, I would like to introduce the data privacy issues that we are currently discussing in Japan regarding information handling in our WHOIS database. And I'm interested to know, after the end of my presentation, the situation in other RIRs, and, well, I'm not sure if the other NIRs are here, but other registries, and also from the perspective of WHOIS users' point of view regarding information query and registering information in WHOIS. So just to explain the background a little bit, I think you probably share more or less this kind of situation, not just in Japan, but the situation surrounding WHOIS is changing. It's not really the same as in the early days of the internet. And because internet is now much more closely related to the social economic activities of just ordinary people, not just close to the people in this industry. So as a result of this, information that's been disclosed in WHOIS also affects people's social and economic lives directly. And just to give you some specific examples about the situation in Japan, with our case, more and more end users have their information registered in their WHOIS. Under the APNIC policy, they are supposed to register their assignment if they receive assignments larger than /30. And I think when this policy was made, it was the idea was that people who receive assignments larger than this size would be people who have enough network skills and they set up their own servers in for their network, so they would be have qualified enough skills as POCs. However, with the spread of voice over IP or family type service, more and more end users receive several fixed IP addresses. So people who don't have network admin skills have their information registered in their WHOIS. And even if you contact these people, they can't do much about anything to deal with network problems. And another thing is, I'm sure that most of you are very, very aware, people who are registered as POCs are being the heavy target of spams. And it can be a really, really serious problem, especially, business-wise. And the third is this law to protect data privacy for people. It was enacted in the year 2004. So people's awareness is starting to change. The initial intention of the law was to make sure adequate handling of personal information would be, implemented. But as a result of this, more and people are starting to feel that they have the right to request for hiding the information for regarding their personal data. So the trend in Japan at the moment is they want as less information as disclosed as possible regarding their personal information. So I suppose the necessary measures would be, well, it's pretty obvious, try to have as less exposure of private information as possible and encourage more people to who have network admin skills to be registered in their as POCs instead of end users who don't really have much clue about how to deal with network problems. So this is just my understanding of measures taken by APNIC. So if it's not correct, please point it out. I think a proposal was passed in 2004. I'm not sure the exact date, but to that all assignments must be registered in WHOIS as it had been in the past. However, this information can be hidden from WHOIS query. In the other words, when people query the WHOIS, it just displays the information of the allocation above this assignment, and the assignment information can be hidden. This is not, I think you can choose whether to hide or disclose. And the second thing that APNIC has been implementing for quite some time is that LIRs can substitute as POCs. And the third would be, I think you have role objects. So in other words, people who don't want to, provide their private emails, they can, register like group emails. And that would kind of avoid spams to your personal account. And measures taken by JPNIC is more or less similar regarding the fact that LIRs can substitute as POCs, and also we also have world objects. But actually, this proposal to hide the total end user's assignment information did not reach consensus in Japan, because people feel that they would like to at least confirm whether an assignment has been made or not. Or maybe, you know, even if it's not like too personal information, they want to have a little bit more information regarding this assignment. That was the general sentiment. Therefore, the measures we take at the moment is that we didn't hide the total assignment information, but we hide a part of the information. And another thing is, I'm not sure about how the implementation of by other RIRs, but with our case, we used to provide bulk Whois data for like research purpose and things in the past. But this kind of information also affects our law in Japan. So we have stopped providing such data except to APNIC. So just to explain a little bit into details of how we actually implement this. Firstly, regarding the INetNam object, we hide the postal address related field. They have to register this information as well, but it's actually not displayed on our Whois. And the idea behind it is that when we have network problems, people don't really send postal mails to dissolve, you know, this kind of problems. They just make phone calls or, you know, send emails. So it's not much use. That's why we hide this information. And also, email address used to be displayed for notified and last update fields. But these kind of emails are not the email address for network troubleshooting. So that's why we've hidden this information as well. I think, have I gone too much? Okay. And the next is regarding the person object. It's pretty much the same as the INetNam in the fact that we hide the address-related field. And another thing we do is that for admin C, we also hide the phone and fax field. It's open. It's disclosed for technical contact, but phone and fax is hidden for admin C because we distinguish technical contact and admin contact, as the admin people are the people who make the final decision about how to handle the network, and technical people are the people who actually look over the daily operations. So maybe they don't need to be contacted as urgently by phone as technical contacts. That's why we hide this information. However, even though we've taken these measures, we still have some further issues, and maybe some end users just don't want to have any of their information exposed on their Whois. So maybe that, you know, we should take further measures to protect this, you know, information for users. And another thing is that, are there any ways to minimize the impact of spams for POCs? These are the two issues that we're trying to, you know, still look for. And maybe this is just a brainstorm of possible solutions. And yeah, it could be possible that we just implement exactly the same policy as APNIC. We just hide the total assignment information. But some people feel maybe we can have an intermediate policy where people can choose to totally hide the information, but also, you know, they can disclose, they can hide a part of the information, or they disclose everything, or, you know, try to think of an intermediate policy, or upgrade the user assignment size to /29. So from current /30, if we upgrade it to /29, maybe most of the end users who currently receive voice over IP or fixed IP service would not be affected. It would then all be registered as ISP's assignments. So most of the people who would register the assignment will be corporate users. Maybe that's one option. And also, another possibility could be we just hide the information for SOHO or home users and not just the corporate users. But each has some pros and cons, and we're still under discussions what would be a good solution. So we've set up a working group on this matter in December last year, and we have 12 volunteers, out of which 7 of them are LIRs, And what we plan to do is draft a proposal by our next JP Open Policy meeting, which is like this meeting, and it's going to be the next one is going to be in the summer. So we are trying to draft a proposal on who is registration policy in Japan. And the basic principles underneath this would be consider data privacy, minimize spam impact, and it should be consistent with APNIC or other RIR's policy. So we try to, you know, come up with something that's consistent with these three principles. So that's basically the situation in Japan, and I would be very interested to know how are the operations? Do other RIRs or APNIC face these kind of issues? Or from end users' point of view, or as an LIR registering whose information, do you have any requests regarding who is information handling or disclosure? That's it from me.
Any questions?
Hi, Leo Vigoda, RIPE NCC. We have similar laws to Japan on data protection, and we don't have a formal policy on implementing those laws, mm-hmm. but I suspect we probably will at some point. So we're facing the same issues that you are.
Are there any measures to protect personal data by RIPE, such as, I don't know, you allow substitution of POCs by LIRs, or it's not formally written?
Well, what we encourage people to do is not to just not register stuff, but mm-hmm. to actually go and put, on the whole, the reason that you don't want to register personal contact information mm-hmm. is because it's an end user, and the end user is not actually competent to help anyone in any case. There's
exactly.
no point in registering that information in the database. Mm-hmm. You can only contact them, and they say, "Well, I clicked on the button," you know, and that's not very helpful. Mm-hmm. So, generally, we would encourage people if they have an issue where they don't want to register their end users' information in the database to register their own information and go and make it clear in the inetnum object that they have registered their own information, mm-hmm. and that's generally how we would recommend people do it.
I see. Thank you.
Ray Polzak from Aaron. This whole matter is actually under discussion in the Aaron region, and there's a couple of fundamental questions you really have to ask yourself with this. And first of all, the reasons you collect information may intersect with the reasons why you display information, but they're not necessarily the same reason. I will collect a lot of information and never display it because I'm doing other things. For example, when Aaron is trying to identify who they are going to potentially give resources to, they ask for a lot of information that never, ever gets even put into the database per se, but exists as supporting documentation. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, there's information that's collected that you want to have publicly displayed. Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself the question is, with every piece of information you're going to display, why is it are you going to display it? Not what are you going to withhold, but what are you going to display? So you have to fundamentally say to yourself, when I create a directory, and you actually have multiple directories that are presented with one face, and you call it who is, but you're providing information regarding DNS, you're providing information to help people do network troubleshooting. You're providing information that could be used to identifying persons to do peering with. You could be providing information to provide regarding people of contact in case of network abuse. But you have to identify what is it that you want to display. Why do you want to display it? Once you identify why you want to display something, then you have to discuss what it is that you really need to show about that to the public. Now, right. With regard to what's held privately, and you raised up the bulk who is issue, here again, you have to actually discern what it is that you're going to release and why you would be re-releasing it. In other words, the research community generally has got a plan about what they want to do. Now, there is no reason why you could not make it a little bit more tailored as far as what you provide. Right, basically, right now, you just get a dump of everything, and that may not be the solution. For example, if a researcher is interested only in knowing the geographical area, and undefined what the area may be for purposes of discussion, and why then do they need to know other information from the database, such as the DNS information? So you have to answer those fundamental questions. Once you do that, then all the rest of your matters, I think, will be taken care of.
Yes, thank you very much. We are very aware of the three issues that you've pointed out as well, but we haven't found yet a very good answer yet. So, yeah, exactly. Thank you for your input, Ray.
Adieu. Grand Cathedral's privileges.
Adiel, Adiel Aplogan from Afrinic. First, I have a question, and then I'll say also what we do. About the book whois, you said that you just stopped providing book whois to
Yes,
to
that's
research.
Right. Uh-huh.
So as you can remove contact information from the whois or hit them in the whois, mm-hmm. why don't you just wipe the contact information from the book whois and provide the information to those who need them? That is something we do at
right.
Afrinic.
Uh-huh.
The book, we remove contact information from it.
Go ahead first.
Yeah. Secondly, we in our region we don't have that privacy enforcement law. It's within a country, so you have to apply. So in our region, we don't have that issue broadly raised by the community, so we don't have any measure to hit contact information. But one issue we are thinking of, and it's about the spam, the use of the information for spam. Even if you don't have the privacy issue, we can have complaints from people who found their email being used by spammer to do that. So it will be something we'll discuss with the community and see how to deal with it.
Thank you very much. Regarding the first point, we actually, thought about this as well, trying to restrict the kind of information we provide in bulk whois. We've consulted our lawyer, and the reply was really, really strict. Like, the lawyer considers that an IP address can be considered a personal information as well, because that's the information. This information can be used to identify an end user. So it's quite a strict kind of implementation, but that was the reply we got from the lawyer. So we're like kind of, implementing in a little bit strict way. That's our situation.
Two comments. The first one, I think from an internet security geek's point of view, Ray's discussion was really analogous to open up the ports which you think are going to be needed. Mm-hmm. Default, everything is closed. So somebody wants bulk whois, what's your research about? Issue the query that answers those data and produce it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the second point is, Izumi-san, I am your customer and member, and I want to know, I'm considering the whois data is mostly used for spam. As an engineer, why do you publish my phone number and not the administrator's? I think the administrator should get the spam, and I should be protected because I have real work to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to. I'll put this input to a working group and, discuss it.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.